Hallelujah. Father, we worship you and glorify you. We bless your name. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We're just going to continue to worship a little bit more, but I was in prayer yesterday and he came to me, and as I was ministering before him and let me know that he especially wanted to do miracles in this service. So we're going to dedicate ourselves to him and look to him in a more consecrated way throughout this service. And I can tell you where the end of this service will be. It'll be up around here praying for anybody that is in need of a miracle, but also releasing miracles through the camera. He always wants to do miracles, but I have to follow him. Some days he puts a special emphasis. So we'll be praying for some specific needs before the day is over. But as you worship with us this morning, I want to just let you know where his heart is at. Continue to minister to him and let's allow him to come with the supernatural. Father, we release this service unto you. We praise you and magnify you. As people are seated in different homes and different places, you're going to come in there. The miraculous taking place in this place and in other places. Jesus, we see you in our midst, and you're the healer, the miracle worker, and all other needs of this life in a miraculous way. We love you, Jesus. We give ourselves over to you. Let's continue to magnify him. Hallelujah. Praying for other miracles as the morning goes on. I want us to pray. To start with, for two. They're very similar. One, this is Homer's. I received this from Homer. I haven't spoke with him yet, but I received it from this morning text. He has a cousin in Texas. His name is Edward. And he has gangrene in his foot. And it is rotting. He says his kidneys are failing. And doesn't sound like they're giving him a whole lot of hope. It's only God. But this is why we exist. Those of you that are part of, not everybody has to, but those of you that are part of the church, please stand with me. We also have an immediate miracle that is necessary. Those of you that are watching, those of you that are part of believing God with miracles. Tony Garcia, which is Damien and Marisol's mom, she is in need of a miracle today. Now this is not a prolonged, like we can wait for it next week. She needs it today. She is being encouraged to make an immediate decision for amputation of her foot. Sometimes people say, well, can things like that wait, not where there's poison and gangrene setting in and those types of things. You either get a healing and it works with the medicine, or the next alternative is that it travels and they have to, the doctors have to make a decision. It's very possible to lose your entire life. So you make a decision, do I want to lose my life or my foot? Or the longer you wait, sometimes you lose more of your leg or arm or whatever. So these are very, very serious. Tony has to make a decision today. It's not like the decision like when do we go, you know, when do we leave to go on vacation, or when do we buy the plane tickets. This is like, do I chance it in the natural? But I'm believing God for an absolute miracle right now. So would you join with me? Let's pray for Tony, and then we'll pray for Edward. Father, for those that are watching and those that are here, collective prayer, just a bunch of people, is not what moves you. You could have 10 million people praying and still never get the result. It's whether or not any one of us or two of us or three of us can reach into that realm of faith and move an uncertain mountain past the possible into the impossible. So today, right now, in the name of Jesus, we and all that are watching, we speak concerning Tony Garcia. We command in the name of Jesus that the poison around the bone in that foot, I command in Jesus' name, as we have spoken and we continue to speak to this mountain, we say, bend to the mind and the will and the purpose of God in Jesus' name. Poison, I command you to go. I command hope in this situation. I command an extension of time as the body continues to heal through supernatural intervention. In the name of Jesus, Tony, receive the virtue of the Lord into your body and into your leg and into your foot. And in Jesus' name, we command this thing. Change today. Change this hour. By the power of God, we release the glory of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit into her foot now. In Jesus' name. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Now, right now we speak and pray for Edward. The power of God will come into his body. Speak to his kidneys, to this gangrene that is in his body and in his leg, in Jesus' name. That the power of God come in full force. For by his stripes we are healed. And I release the power of God into Edward's body, and I say in Jesus' name, right there in Texas, in Jesus' name, may the power of God enter your body. And may the power of God sweep through you today. May the presence of God change your situation from hopeless to hopeful. In Jesus' name, live, 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 come forth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Edward, we command you to live. By the power of God, in the name of Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. just worship just a little more, and then we'll greet each other. Go ahead, lead us this song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we appreciate everybody that's here with us this morning, and everyone that's watching. We are going to have a wonderful service. His presence is here. Why don't you go around and greet someone? Say hi. We bless you, those that are watching. Hallelujah. Thank you for being with us. We love you so much. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see as many as we have here with the time change. And we appreciate you being here. Hallelujah. I'm sure you think you did not get enough sleep last night. Hallelujah. It's good to see Mike Church with us. Amen. I knew the anointing was up just a little bit. Yeah, quite a bit. So we appreciate it. We want to give our condolences to Pablo. His sister passed this past week. And I did not know her, but I will be sharing tomorrow evening at 7. I think it starts at 6, right? 6 to 8 will be her memorial at, what's the funeral home? Brister's. So any of you that want to come out and share your condolences, I'll be there at 7 or thereabouts to share. But we appreciate Pablo. And so I do know this from him, his testimony, that she is with Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're giving time for people to get back in. We appreciate the fellowship that Homer and Rosie put on last night. Hallelujah. I didn't stick around to the end, but I'm sure I was on the winning team. Hallelujah. I was on Julie's team. Yeah, so that had to be the winning team, right? Hallelujah. So I understand how churches can build expeditiously through fellowships. Hallelujah. At 5 minutes till 6, I bet you, cars were coming in there like Field of Dreams. I haven't seen that at the church yet. So it was good, though. We had a great time, and I appreciate it. And, you know, I will say this, not to brag, but I was up to bat twice, and I've scored both times. So, yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. So my man Joe scored. I was looking around, and here he comes in. That's great. He was on the opposing team, though, Joe. I can't handle that. So hallelujah. So we appreciate everybody coming out and being part of that. There was a really good crowd last night. Amen. We want to give a shout out to Ryan and Cassidy Averett. They are pregnant with a little boy. And so they will be here. They will bring that little boy this coming November because she's 3 months along. So that'll be awesome. Hallelujah. So, Ralph, your daughter is with us today? This is Ralph's daughter. This is fantastic. We appreciate so much you being with us. Thank you so much. God bless. Man, that is an honor. Hallelujah. We appreciate all of you, your giving and blessing the church, and as often as the Lord enables you to do so. And thank you so much for those of you that are giving online and those of you that are giving weekly and however the Lord directs you. So without a whole lot said this morning, why don't you go ahead and prepare that, and we'll give you an opportunity to bring that forward in just a moment. There will be church tonight. Pastor, we just had softball last night. Do we have to go right back into prayer? Absolutely. Hot dogs. You know, I'll tell you what I said last night. If we could, you know, do something like a coffee machine at church and stuff on, man, we could just, I just, You know, I even like it. I mean, I said, man, I don't see why Gay couldn't be here on Sunday nights out like it in the center of the field, you know, leading, calling the lost. I'm sure we'd have 200 or 300 probably in just a few weeks. But, you know, I'm just being facetious. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your great grace over our lives and how that you provide for this calling that you've given us. We're asking you to help us to go deeper today into the things of God, into the power of your Holy Spirit. We bless you and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. And if you missed greeting someone that in that last greeting, you can say hi. If you have something to bring, bring it down this morning. If not, turn to someone and bless them, and our kids can be dismissed. Let's get ready to go into the presence of God in a very powerful way. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, it all began then, at that moment in time in which we received the life of that new nature that you gave us, that born-again spirit. And we give you all the praise and glory for the price, the awesome price that was paid for our redemption. And then, Lord, for anyone who chose to make you Lord, you've paid the ultimate price to provide for us everything necessary. So we want to step into that today. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Hallelujah. So I don't know exactly, but I do know a little enough to get started in meditation over the last few days. But it's like the more that we give him, and this is understood around here, the more he wants. Because I do know this, there's a place. It doesn't do me any good to repeat this, but I guess I will, because I try to take the edge off people. You can get to heaven with a whole lot less effort than what we're asking you to give. You can get there with a new nature, a born-again spirit, and if you don't put the candle out by sinning against it on a continual basis, you can get there. But then again, I don't know how to live that life. I've crossed some kind of line. I don't know when it was, but I crossed some kind of line that going back is not even a contemplation. Going back to sin, no. Far less than that. Going back to a melancholy, complacent kind of life where you could feel good about, and I'm joking, and we did a great thing to have a fellowship. You could feel good about filling up a church with powerless people and people that didn't know him enough to go in and change. See, something wrenches down deep inside of me. It's not condemnation. It's deeper than that. It's beyond that. Situations like Tony's, we've had at times to concede and do what's the next best thing and just save them by the medical, and that's better than nothing. But I know if there's success or not success, it all depends on me or you. Most people never get close enough to God to be able to reconcile, was I close enough to stop something? And if it didn't get stopped, then the answer is, no, you weren't. You didn't have enough at that given time to stop it or change it. And not every situation's the same. Sometimes there's people's will involved, and sometimes people are in a place where their lifestyle if they know God, or they should have known God, and they're in a place where deliberate sin is involved, then no amount of faith will change that. So I'm not giving a coverall and saying everything's the same. But then again, when situations are like, say, for instance, a baby that has no say whatsoever, and you can't even blame it on their parents, even if their parents are not serving the Lord, the baby is innocent. So you can step into that kind of situation. By the way, little Wilda is doing incredible. We got a video of her this week, nursing on her little bottle with her hand on it. The nurse was saying, "Looks like you're ready to hold your bottle." As I said, they told her mother a number of times, and I would get text, "They're telling me to come down and hold her and let her pass." And I said, "No, don't let her, don't do that. Go in there and speak life over her." Well, we're seeing a change. And so we can say hallelujah about that. But that's supposed to be a hallelujah about everything we pray for. You're not supposed to take, praise Him on this, and then the things that you can't beat yourself, as in condemning yourself, but then again, you can't take the ones that you miss or couldn't and sweep it under a rug and say, "Well, the hallelujah ones will cover that." No, every one of them's an individual that we've got to go to a place. Fasting. He's laying on some of your hearts to fast 2 or 3 days a week. This is not your typical garden variety social club church. Those that are you're watching because you know that, and there's something inside of you that says, even though I hate it when it looks like we've failed, still the satisfaction in knowing that we are giving it our all is enough to lay down and sleep real good. Yes, sir. So I'm listening, and so he wants me to go to these scriptures, because we want to talk about, he wants to talk about a place of knowing Him that most of the church doesn't even, they can't even fathom, they can't even think about. It's not even presented to them. And then it's more of our place of commitment to Him. And make no mistake about it, in that place of commitment to Him, knowing Him in depth, it's going to take us to that place where first time, every time, all the time. And like I said, if there's a reason why, then He'll show it to us. Like, they're out there and they're doing stuff when they know better. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you are already making that commitment. I've seen some things change recently. Some things that we said about commitment of church, being here, and even parents swapping off to be here sometimes during the middle of the week and those kinds of things. So why don't you go with me to Luke's chapter 6. Those of you that are watching at home, you're there in that place. The presence of God is there. I can tell you that. I know that. We're going to gather up here with some elders here in a little bit and pray and release God. Every time Every time today and tomorrow that God says, Tony Garcia or Edward, and he'll bring it up, then you just lift up and say, Father, I thank you that by his stripes they're healed. And then you see it. You see them. You see it in that hope. You see it in that position of faith. God is bringing them out of those places, and they keep their legs and they keep their appendages. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, show us this. Show us where we need to go. Not of fear, not of condemnation, but of just a gentleness of saying, Lord, yes. So we're looking at the sermon on the plain here for just a moment, and I'm not teaching the sermon on the plain. I just want to get a certain aspect out of it. The sermon on the plain is another rendition of the Sermon on the Mount, which is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he doesn't teach all of everything that he taught in the Sermon on the Mount, but it is another part of the same truths that he taught in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This was taught in another geographical location, which he says he came down and spoke this on the plain. But what we want to bring out here is a particular phrase that probably coins what his heart is this morning for us. So let's look at, you know, he goes down through so much here. But let's look at verse 43. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. And he says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, and of bramble bush gather they grapes, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now here's really where I wanted to get to, and this is our phrase for the morning. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We talk around here about intimacy, and we parallel that or pair that with worship and private worship, because that's one of the easiest ways to get into intimacy. And we talk about and we present over to you and hope that it's contagious, that you yourself come to a place where you love him more than anything else in this world. That's the trek. That's the road of a revivalist. We talk about that revival is our vision, miracles are our call, and that's absolute. But one thing that we keep telling you just in front of that is our intimacy, our desire to know him and to be transformed to his full image. Paul spoke of his own heart. We see how dear Paul wrote in Philippians. When he wrote in Philippians, he said, that I may know him, this is my heart. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That I might be made conformable unto his death. Now, the first thing that was on Paul's heart, he goes on to say that he himself pressed forward towards the mark for the prize of the high calling which was in Christ Jesus. And we've discovered by looking at that very intently is that his prize was not his apostleship. The prize that he was looking after was to know Christ in an intimate way, a fellowship on a continual basis, that he would know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, to know him, and it's so intimate. So we know this, that before miracles, just before miracles, and just before an outpouring, and just before a harvest, we as individual, on an individual basis, our number one objective is on a continual and personal daily basis. Before we cry out, God send the harvest, our cry is to sit in his presence and desire to hear from him and know from him and to be conformed to his image. To fall in love with him as he loves us. That's our number one. But having said that, there's a thin membrane between that. It's real thin. That's first. But just an inch on the other side of that. I mean, just a spiritual inch on the other side of it. Just a quarter, just a 16th, just a 1/32nd, or a 1/64th, or a 1/28, just a thin membrane on the other side of that is, if you're going to walk in intimacy, you're going to do what he tells you to do. It's not the tears running down your face and the glory that you felt that you walk out and tell somebody, I'm in a spiritual position with God like I've never been before. It's not his presence being felt and the tears that are streaming. That's the number one sign of where you're truly walking. The number one telltale sign of where you're truly walking is, will you do what he's asked you to do? And these two phrases he spoke, this phrase, this Lord, Lord, was spoken several times. He in his ministry, he said it oftentimes, two times in the Sermon on the Mount. Why would you call me Lord, Lord? The first Lord is Lord, like God. You are my Lord. I'm testifying to you. I'd rather him testify to me about me than me testifying to him about me. He'd often say this. This was an often saying of his. Matthew 25. He talked about the five foolish virgins. They'd stand outside the door and they'd say, Lord, you are my Lord. Remember. Matthew 7, he talked about that they would say, you've preached in our streets. We've done miracles in your name. Lord, Lord. And here in Luke, he's telling them, why? This was the question. Why would you say that I'm your Lord? In other words, you're testifying to me, Lord, you have my complete life. I'm totally surrendered to you. Okay. He doesn't come off with, have you felt my presence? What tenderness of my spirit have you felt that testifies of my lordship in your life? And I'm not going off against intimacy, because you know that's what this message is about. But the line of whether or not he really has, the line that you have crossed over into places, that there is a place of unyielded or unlimited yieldedness to him. The more you're yielded every phase of your life, and we're talking, we're past adultery, fornication, and I hate to even mention that. They don't even deserve to be in this sermon. I'm talking about a yieldedness of revivalist that are yielding their life and saying, Lord, there's nothing in my life, no pursuit of money, no pursuit of riches, not pursuit of homes, not pursuit of vacations, not pursuit of ambitions, not pursuit of anything, and none of those things in and of themselves, if they're done, do you know we're supposed to live the word says moderate? Do you know what moderate means? It means not doing it all the time, a bunch. Even things that are not sin should be done moderately. Why? Because you've only got one life to live. And you've only got a certain amount of time. We don't get to pick where we live. We don't get to pick. See, through the years, I've had people come. Some may be watching today, so I'll be real careful and loving. And some really don't qualify in a bad way. Some will tell me, they'll come or call, Pastor, we're leaving, we're moving. Some come, and here's the thing. I'm not your Lord over anything. I can't be the final decision. I don't want to be. I don't want to Lord over you. Because if I tell you something and it's wrong, then I've messed you up. But I can give spiritual judgment. Well, listen, here's the thing. If I don't want money from you, and if I don't want favor from you, in other words, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. If I'm free from that, then I'm qualified when you ask me something. If the water is tainted with like, you're a good friend of mine, and you know, I hate to say this to good friends, but you're the best friends that you'll ever have, somebody that'll tell you just like it is. In love. Don't be sarcastic or mean. But I've had people come, and some people have come and said, we're moving or contemplating moving, living someplace else. Out of state or this, that, and the other. What do you think? Will you pray with me? Yes, I will. I hate to lose you, but in some cases, it's okay. But I've had probably more that come and made the announcement. Just made the announcement. I don't know. Maybe more. We're moving. Well, they didn't go into sin. But what the point is this. If you're a revivalist, you're sold on our call. You're sold on not just this church. Well, you could go to another church where you'd have a whole lot more fellowship at times. But you won't go to a place where people are dug in any deeper. So if you're a revivalist, you can't make. What he's saying is, let me read this, 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man who built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built his house upon a rock, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus is talking about if you'll do my sayings. Well, the sayings are right here in this chapter, just like they were in 5, 6, and 7. But the sayings also are to you personally. Do you know you don't get... If you cross that line of a revivalist, you don't get to live where you want to. You don't. You don't get to the job you want to. Most people in the kingdom, if it wasn't a sinful job, they'll give me $50,000 more over in that city. Well, I thank God he opened the door and he's given me $50,000. You don't get to go for $100,000 or $1,000,000 or whatever the offer is. No offer. No offer. It all depends on, Lord, you're my Lord. And I'm tied into a revival, so wherever revival holds me. And if you do that, then you're promised that your foundation will always be solid. And you'll be the happiest. Flesh-wise, just flesh. I'll just tell you flesh. If I just had a flesh out. I love all of you. You're so great. And I can tell you this. I'll die in Immokalee. I'll die here. I've come here and I'll die. Are you looking to go someplace? No, I'll die. And some of you are lifers too. Some of you have come to me and said, I'm a lifer. I'll be here with you till this is over or we go home. And the same there, you may not be in Immokalee, but you're a lifer. You've made Him Lord and you've said, Lord, but He truly is your Lord. He's not just Lord, and then you're trying to convince Him. And I just flesh out. If I just had bronc, see, I'd buy 100 acres up in the hills of Tennessee somewhere, put a big log cabin out there, walk out on that back porch and sip that coffee early in the morning and say, oh, look at those deer, and God is so good. You know, God may have given some people stuff like that. I guess maybe He does. But whatever my Lord tells me to do, I'll go over in that city, or I'll go there, or I'll go there. We're going to go to James in just a moment, talk about people that said, I'll choose this. See, revivalists like you, revivalists like me, that can eventually go to every Tony Garcia and say, in Jesus' name, what does it make you want to do? Pull off another long fast. I don't care. I just get stupid with it, if that's the way to say it. Get crazy. So, Pastor, I don't understand that kind of. I understand that you don't. You're going to go to heaven. God bless your darling heart. And we love you to pieces. I'm talking to people that want to say to Him, Lord, Lord, you are my Lord. Not Lord, Lord, and Jesus will say, well, I've asked you for 10 years to spend an hour in prayer, and you're telling me I'm your Lord. I'm your Savior. You're coming. You're my son. You're my daughter, and I love you to pieces. I'm just not your Lord. Do you understand Lordship and Saviorship is two different things? You get to heaven by Him being your Savior. You live this life in power by Him being your Lord. Okay. He told me to go to a place and I'll go there. So go to Hebrews chapter 11. This is our, yay. This is our pom-poms. Yeah. I had a good time last night. I was watching people. I saw Sarah come to bat. She is so cute. She's funny. And I don't know if she batted even more than once, but I saw her come to bat, and she took the bat. And you know how those big leaguers will take their cleats and they'll bang off the mud just before they make a big home run? I saw her over there banging off the... She's like, she's going to hit the ball. I think she did. Yeah, she did. Yeah. So this goes into another place of lordship that the church, listen, this will make you loopy kind of, this isn't real kind of. I'm talking about a church that will sell themselves out all the way unto death. That's what the first church was. That's why Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, could write this. I thought about reading this entire chapter, but it wouldn't behoove us, for the sake of time and for us getting to a place of prayer, But let me just start out and jump real quick, maybe help me, Holy Spirit. I'll just read the first few verses, then jump around a little bit. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders, and he's going to name all these elders, a bunch of them. By it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds, there's two words at least for the word world, and it's one is cosmos, which is the earth that we live on, and the other one is eon, which is a generation or a time slot. It's a time, a place in time. That this word worlds here is the word a place in time. So it's saying here, through faith we understand that a generation or generations were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. So he's going to go very methodically through here and give you some yay praise reports. And he's telling you up front that in their generation, the things that are appeared to be their testimony were not formed by the things that were seen. Another word, Samson's strength was not from Samson. David's valiant, you know, going against Goliath was not David. It was all faith. It was all God. It was all, in essence, the shadow of Christ in them. So that's what he's telling us from the very beginning. He starts right with Adam's son, right from the garden. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And then he goes into Enoch. Enoch, you know, he was the guy that was translated. He so walked with God, he was here, and then he was gone. And type of Enoch and Elijah, they all chariot, I know, but he wound up. He was translated. We go on, Noah. Hallelujah. Noah was a righteous man. He received grace and he saved the world. You go, Noah. What a faith report. You're a winner. You're a winner, Noah, because you did what God said. Somebody told me the other day, they said, yeah, talking about conspiracy theories. I'm starting to believe a lot more of them than I used to. He said, yeah. He said they thought Noah was a conspiracy theorist until it started raining. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Abraham, father of faith. Man, you ended up good, Abraham. Sarah, mother Sarah, praise God. She received faith to conceive at 90 years old. Hallelujah. Man, go. 17, Abraham, Isaac, all these are just Joseph, Moses. Moses, you know, he wouldn't quit. They thought they would, you know, kill him as a baby. He escaped. He goes into the desert, comes back, leads the children of Israel out of. I mean, what a victory report. What an absolute victory report. On and on and on. By faith, by faith, by faith, through faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, the walls of Jericho came down. Glory to God. I mean, that's awesome. Rahab, the harlot, by faith, she escaped. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, all the prophets, man, all these guys, the old timer, knock them in the creek, you're doing good, man. Victory, victory, victory. Some, he said in verse 34, they quenched the fire, the violence of fire. Well, you know what that was? That was those three, had to be those three Hebrew boys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Fire don't work on us. Women received. Oh, let me read this back to the 34. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of swords. Out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in the fight. All, and I can just see all David's men. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Come on, man. Women received their dead raised to life. And others. Wait a minute. Let's jump now. Let's go to Psalms 91. No, I'm not. Don't go there. I'm just saying that's where it's left off right there. Because most of the church don't know Him as Lord, You are my Lord. See, here's the thing. Here's the deal. You got to understand this. We have infallible, absolute truth here on what He did in the atonement. What you've promised, what you can stand on is that no devil can come to you directly and destroy your life. In other words, health is yours to stand up absolute until the day that you pass from this life to the next. There is no exception. There is no exception that God says that'll glorify me. No exception. No exception in depression. No exception in fear. All those things were obtained in the resurrection. Mono to mono, any devil or any time in history or any famine, He'll provide for us. I don't care how bad it got. If gas got to be $100 a gallon, you couldn't go any place, go to work, He'll provide for us. He'll send ravens. But here's what you don't have. And here's what we do have. We have an absolute promise that Paul said, those that are righteous. We had it from Christ. We have it from Paul. They will suffer persecution. He might ask you, if He's your Lord, to go through things. Well, wait a minute. All these others, they were delivered. They were set free. They purposely, God showed up in Psalms 91 and set them free. Glory be to God. Yes, because that was His purpose for them. But others hold just as a valiant place of authority in this book written, because they stepped over and they said, for His will right now is for me to glorify Him in choosing not to accept deliverance. What if Daniel got eight? He'd have still been in here. He'd have been a martyr. What if we say, well, them Hebrew boys, the fire didn't work on them. No, they didn't. But you know what they said? If it works or don't work, we're going in. Now go with me to James chapter 4. You're right there close to James, just the next book over. Hallelujah. I hope you're being edified and not being... You've got to understand something. Is it God's will for me to be protected? Absolutely. Absolutely. But see, here's something that the modern day church doesn't understand. They don't understand the willingness to go all the way, even to death. Well, He'll save us, and He didn't them. I'm so glad, Pastor, that I live in America, that God chose for me to be born here. There's only one problem with that. He didn't choose that. You think God chose for you to be born here? Well, I just thank God for the parents I have that He chose to give me these. No, listen. I know we say things like that. But come on, wait a minute. Wait. You think that God chooses these things for us before we're born? We came in through the law of Genesis. God didn't choose who you'd be born to or what nation. Okay, I'm going to choose for that one to suffer all hell, but this one, no. Or I'm going to choose for that one to be born with body parts that don't exist, but I'm going to choose that one can be normal. None of that is in choice. Somebody was real weird. There's been a lot of weird preaching through the years. Well, God creates spirits there and sends them here. Really? Is that right? So He has them there created, and He could just keep them there because that's where He really wants all of us. But He's going to send them here so they run the jeopardy of going to hell and spending eternity in hell. Come on. We should have a show called Christians Say the Dumbest Things. Christians say the dumbest things. Really, he's creating them there, putting them in deformed bodies. Well, what about yours? He loved yours better? The truth is, he didn't have anything to do with any of that. That was your mom and daddy. James kind of, in a real way, in what we're talking about this morning about choosing him, was addressing something in the church. And we're not teaching James because it's so deep, but we want to catch this part of it for our understanding. Chapter 4, he says this. Boy, this is a message to the modern church. From whence comes wars and fightings among you, schisms? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? And please, get out of your thoughts lust as being, I'm lusting after that woman, I'm lusting after that man. He's talking about every possible lust of the flesh, like I want more, I want my way. It's my way or the highway, self-exertion, exerting my life, my appetite. See, I know, I understand that I'm getting to look through the camera and out here and see mature into, how do you think I get to preach these real strong, hard sermons? It's because you're strong enough. You're off of milk. You're strong enough to hear these things. But while you're strong enough, I'll continue to give it to you as much as possible. You lust, he said, and have not. You kill, that doesn't physically mean kill. And you desire to have, and you cannot. You fight, you war. It's like the guy that's just trying his best to get through life, and yet you have not because you ask not. And then you ask, and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. This is a guy trying to get his faith to work for him with wrong motivation. All the ABCs, 1, 2, 3s formulas of faith is not working for him. Why? Because the motivation of faith is absolutely misconstrued. It's messed up. Oh, James, do you really have to say these things concerning us, the church? Ye adulterers and ye adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is an enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Oh, Jesus. Weighty words, weighty, weighty, weighty. Is there any wonder, please, why I'm not trying to cast condemnation, but when we look at the church in modern day America, is it any wonder why we've not had revival? We're so in bed with the world. We're sleeping, not physically, but the world is in the church. The programs and the buzz sayings and the performances that people see on stage every Sunday. And James has said, you're sleeping with the world. No, James, we're not sleeping. Oh, yeah. You're adulterers and adulteresses. Because you're at odds with God. You're an enemy. Do you think, he said, that the Scripture saith, in vain the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth. And this is a good, lusteth to envy. He's saying something good here. He's saying, do you think it says, when I read this verse, I always read this verse and think of Pastor Dave Roberson. He said years ago, when they were having Saturday prayer at the church in Tulsa, and the families would come and camp out, and they'd just have, they'd stay for the day, you know, they'd bring their little lunches, and they would camp out, and they would find their little spot on the wall. And If you've ever been to the prayer center in Tulsa, it's quite large, maybe hold 500 people. And they would camp out all around the walls and find a little, you know, their little cubby holes to have their little place of prayer, because they'd spend 5, 6, 7, 8 hours praying and maybe bring their refreshments. But they'd just camp out. But they'd be praying in tongues. He said he was out there one day and he was just, circling, kind of, you can walk in a big round circumference there, or square. He said he was walking around, nevertheless, and he said he got strange. All of a sudden, everything got strange. He said he would walk by groups and families, and he could hear them praying in tongues, but he was understanding them in English. He was picking up the interpretation just like they were speaking out in English. He was just interpreting it. And he would listen, and he would go on to the next group, and the next group were saying, their tongues were saying the same thing. And he walked around several groups, and they were all praying the same prayer. They were all saying the same thing. James says here, he says, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? He said every one of those groups, all those people, they were all saying, they were praying, the Holy Ghost was praying through them, that they would have the same kind of relationship with God, or the same level or even beyond with God that they were having with other things. That the things that they were having and putting their attention on in this world and what was really robbing their time. Now listen, you got to be a mommy. You got to be a daddy. You got to be a housewife. You got to be a businessman or businesswoman. He doesn't want us to become a bunch of monks. But there's so much of our life that's unnecessarily wasted on time robbers and things that we're giving ourselves to. And he said every one of these groups, he could hear the Holy Spirit was saying, Lord, I want a relationship with you that will replace my satisfaction that I'm getting in these other things. And they may not even be worldly things like things of sin. He says this, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. If you're going to advance, now here's the number one, if you're going to advance, you're going to have to humble yourself. When you hear a message like this, you can't start checking off, well, pastor's a little bit, he's on the other side of crazy. I don't need a change. Well, that's none of you. I'm not saying that is, but our disposition has to be, Lord, whatever you say, Lord, you are my Lord. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee for you. That's another message. Resist the devil fleeing from you is not a real problem. You can say, scat, get, and he goes. It's all predicated on how much of you is dedicated over to him. Christ. That's our authority. Draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Now, he was talking to the church there. Wherever it applies now, it applies. You double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourself. No, you say, wait, why would he want us? Listen, does he want you happy? Yes. Secondly, he wants you happy. But first, he wants you obedient. He wants you to humble yourself under him and do what he says. That's where choosing, I can't choose. Oh, that happiness is in the hills of Tennessee. Happiness is getting more opportunities to fulfill my deer hunting or my fishing or my... No, happiness is obedience. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. What does that mean to us? It doesn't mean that we become depressed. It just means to me that when I run into impossible situations. And I'm not giving up on this thing with Tony. I'm by no means mentioning her. But here's the deal. If something like that you pray for, if it don't turn out right, if that don't just gall you all the way to the bitter, I mean, down to, if it doesn't just make you say, my God. Now, I know it's not God's fault. It's got to be me and us. And if something like that don't just make you like, I'm going in. I'm going in. Humble yourself in the sight of God that he may lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. For he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Now, this is really where I wanted to go. He says this, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say. Now, here's the attitude of the church. Today or tomorrow, we'll go into that city, into such a city, and continue there a year, and we'll buy and sell and we'll gain. In other words, it's not wrong to be a gospel entrepreneur. It's not wrong to make money for the kingdom of God. But he's talking about what he's talked about from the beginning of this chapter, adulterers and adulteresses that couldn't get enough. They war and they kill inside of their hearts because their whole life is about them, about their family, about their business, and they've never, ever, ever come to a place where they could say, Lord, you are Lord. Lord, you are my Lord. So much so that we saw in Hebrews chapter 11 that the chapter is divided. We get all those champions. Glory, hallelujah, they got saved. And then we got a whole bunch at the end like, oh yeah, yeah, they got killed. They got sown asunder. They got stoned. They got pierced with a sword. And they're all champions. And it was all God's will. The ladders didn't fall below. Well, the devil got in there somewhere. It was all God's will. Lord, you are my Lord. See, I'm teaching something the church as a whole don't even understand. Because they've never grasped it. He says, go to now ye that say today or tomorrow we will go to such a city and continue there, buy and sell, and we're going to make a bunch of money. Hey, it's a good idea. Let's us Christians get together. We can make money over there. We'll do it for the kingdom. He said this, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor that appeareth a little time, and then it vanishes away. You ought to say this. It doesn't mean you have to say this after every time that you're talking about a plan that you've settled. But it's saying this ought to be the disposition of your heart. You ought to say, if the Lord will. Because the Lord's my Lord. If the Lord will. Now this part I can't. This breaks it down. I mean, this breaks it down. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Now, it's always his will for you to live a long life. With long life, thou shalt satisfy him and show him salvation. It's absolutely, absolutely his will that no sickness, disease, cancer, abnormality take you out. The only reason why that ever your life should ever be cut short of 120 years is that you're standing in a place where he's saying to give your life as a martyr will bring glory. And he cannot back up. And even in that, you'd get a choice. But did James break it down or what?
For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. If the Lord will, we'll do this. If the Lord will, we'll do that. But now you're rejoicing in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Hallelujah. I'm glad I go to this church. Every time we hear tougher sermons like this and we receive them, it gets us closer. Let's all stand. Thank you, sir. If anyone, we may not have anyone, but if we have anyone who needs to be prayed for this morning, you're fighting an infirmity in your body, I'm going to release the power of God through the camera. I'm going to ask those in the homes, if there's more than one there, if anybody in your group raises their hands, you can look around and, you know, and I'm going to ask, you know, the leaders in that group to go over there and just lay hands on them, because we're going to believe God for a manifestation of the virtue of the Lord to flow. So, Harry, can you come? Yeah, Robert, you may want to come and assist him. It doesn't matter. So, hallelujah. Let's just worship for just a moment. We're still at an early hour here, so let's just worship. I want to release the power of God through the camera. I know there's some people out there. Hallelujah. Just lead us in a song of worship, and let's just praise God for a moment. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you are feeling His lordship, and He's coming to you right now. Not with condemnation and not with fear, but just a challenge, a really wonderful challenge that is telling you that you can do this. He's not asking you to do what pastor does or what another man or woman does. He's just simply asking you to do what He's asking you to do. And so it's as individualized as the very fingerprints of your fingers. We're all called to the same purpose, but God knows every one of our lives. He's asking each one of us to, inside of us, to make a commitment to say, Lord, I will. What does that mean? I will. It just means, Lord, whatever you're asking me to do at this particular time. And I can tell you this, He won't jump too far ahead of you of anything that you can't give Him. Maybe it's a little more time in prayer. Maybe it's another day of fasting. Maybe it's more moments in intimacy and presence. But why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I ask you to do or tell you to do? Jesus, we're saying yes. We're saying yes, Lord. And whatever part of us that doesn't want to say yes, we're asking you to kill that. Kill it, Lord, so that everything is totally yielded completely. That there's no fanfare, that we're not acting like we're somebody that we're not, but we're just simply in humility saying, Lord, we're your servant. Use us as you will. Now, if you're here this morning, you're fighting anything in your body, even anything that's been there for a while and you're standing against, I will simply want to lay my hands on you and allow the power of what's in my spirit to flow out to you. So come now as Harry leads us. If there's one, if there's several, hallelujah. Just come and stand across the front. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
my elders, if you'll come and pray with us. And hallelujah, Jesus.
There's no other like you. There's no other like you. There's no other like you. There's no other like you.
Hallelujah. The very thing that you're believing God for, I'm just believing with you. I may not even ask you. I probably won't. I just feel like He wants me to lay my hands on you and release the power of God. This is Scripture. Let Him call for the elders of the church. The prayer of faith will save the sick. So you're here this morning. You're fighting something. Even if it's fear, depression, anxiety, whatever it is, I'm believing God with you. Through the camera, listen, those of you that are watching this morning, I'm speaking to you. Now there's a glory and a presence that's coming right now, and I'm releasing it now along with praying for these people. And in the name of Jesus, anyone that is there that needs a touch, that needs presence, that is responding to this call here, just kind of signal or raise your hand to someone in the room, and I'm asking those of you that are elders there to just slip over. Or maybe it's a mom or a dad or someone that's an elder there in that sense of the word. Just begin to pray with them. Release the power of God. Right now, I'm telling you, the presence of God is bringing forth the miraculous. So in Jesus' name, receive this. Receive this in your homes. Receive it in this place. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the power of God in the name of Jesus. And I release the power of God into His body. Let the presence of the Lord flow to him right now. And in Jesus' name, receive the healing power of the Lord. Virtue and glory and presence in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Okay. In Jesus' name, I command this to go. In the presence of the Lord, receive the virtue of Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I release your glory upon him in Jesus' name. By his stripes, the presence of the Lord, the virtue of God, healing. Whatever this is in Jesus' name, receive this virtue. Receive this virtue. Receive this virtue now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I command arthritis to leave your body. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to be made whole in the name of Jesus. Candy, will you come and pray and lay your hands on her, please? In Jesus' name, I release healing virtue into your hands. I command in Jesus' name, this infirmity go. I command this foul spirit to leave your body in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord, Mike, receive what you're standing for in the name of Jesus. Be made whole in the name of Jesus. Receive the virtue of the Lord in your body in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive this now. Receive this now. Healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I receive with him now. I release the power of God in the name of Jesus. Be made whole in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, in Jesus' name, virtue of Jesus, be healed. Be healed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Release your glory, Jesus. Release your glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Your virtue, Jesus. Your healing power. We release it now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now. Your virtue, Jesus. Healing, Jesus. Healing, Jesus. your Lord. By his stripes, you're healed in Jesus' name. Release the power of God. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. By his stripes, release the power to you now. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Oh, I release the power of God now, the virtue of the Lord, into your body. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. His virtue into your body. His virtue. I release that power. Be healed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Receive now. Receive now. Receive now. Receive now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed. That what you're standing for now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I receive the power of God for both of them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let your virtue run through their bodies. I claim with them, and I say in Jesus' name, I command this thing done in the name of Jesus. I command this thing done and complete in the name of the Lord. By his stripes, I call them healed. And I call this thing broken off that has tried to abate. The assignment of hell, I command it broken off in the name of Jesus. And I release the power of God to them. Thank you for olive plants about their table. Thank you for olive plants. Thank you for olive plants. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I release the power of God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Release the power of God to you, Marty. By his stripes, you're healed. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Gianna, same situation.
Okay. Okay. Gianna, so in the name of Jesus, we pray right now for a co-worker of Carl's named Gianna, and her baby is the same situation as Wilda. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I speak life into this child, and I command it to live and to come forth, not only to survive, but in Jesus' name to be made manifest in perfect healing, that all the organs of her body and her brain and everything else is absolutely manifest in life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Just want to read my Bible, man.
Yeah, just wants to read his Bible. Hallelujah. If I allowed myself, I'd get so caught up in the emotion of how much I love this man and what I pray for him on a continual basis. But I have to stand right here. I remember years ago when Homer was in and out of blindness for a season, and was going through the laser surgery, and he was blind, and I don't know if it was to the level it was right now, but it certainly had not been as long. And he was sitting right up here on the front, first or second row, and so Pastor Dave just walked by him, and he didn't even make much of it. He just laid his hand on him and said, "Be opened." And it came back. He started seeing again.
It's real simple. if we can grasp it, if we can go there, if there's a room, that once we go there, and then we're going to come back and say, wow. It's like geography, or it's like geometry to a five-year-old right now to us. It's like, but when you're in, see, he's taking us to graduate school so that we're like, this is simple. So in Jesus' name, Lord, I command these eyes to open. I command these eyes to open that he sees and reads his Bible. And I believe with all my heart that beyond anything else in this world, not making money, not his family, that's his number one thing in his life, and even his wife that he loves more than anything in this world, but I believe that what he wants to see is the Word of God. Father, you've provided access. I command in the name of Jesus, eyes open in Jesus' name. Eyes open in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good, 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 good. Hallelujah. Amen. Good day. Good day. Good day. So we love all of you that are watching, everybody in here. I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Be blessed in this day. Hallelujah. We'll see you tonight at 6. Amen. We may be having a film tonight, but it'll be something that everyone will enjoy, and we'll pray in tongues as we do. So hallelujah. God bless.